Mother knew I'd be a better choice than Crystal, because I care about the kingdom more than anything. She glanced up at the two moons that were already visible in the twilight sky, and her talons stumbled over a fallen branch. Or, she knew Crystal's secret, so she was forced to choose me. Maybe she would have picked her, but she was stuck with me instead, because she knew Crystal might leave. Snowfall sighed. That shining moment hadn't lasted very long. She found her way back to the sanctuary lake and waded in to wash off all the dirt of the forest and clean the scratches that Mudwing had given her. Her guards looked surprisingly pleased to see her, although she guessed that was because they'd have a hard time explaining how they'd lost the queen to everyone back home. They followed her to a spot on the lakeshore, a fair distance away from all the other dragons, and formed a perimeter around her while she tried to scratch together enough moss for a comfortable sleeping spot. Snowfall wondered where Lynx was. Having a jolly, marvelous time with Winter and Moon, no doubt. Romping around Sanctuary, telling stories about everything Snowfall had already done wrong as queen, laughing at her. Can you believe she was dumb enough to get an animus-touched ring stuck on her claw? That sort of thing. She tried once more to pull it off, and when that didn't work, of course, she lay down and stared gloomily at the ring in the darkness. It had nothing to say for itself. Not even a smug twinkle tonight. Remember what I told you, she thought at it fiercely. I demand a specific vision. I want to know what happened to animus magic. If you must haunt my dreams tonight, that is the vision I choose to summon. I am your queen, and that is my command. You hear me? Impudent silence from the ring. Snowfall sighed, closed her eyes, and drifted uneasily toward sleep. Chapter 12. Her wings are green and they miss the sun. Her claws hurt from walking on stone instead of dirt for days. She is hungry. There is not enough food for all the dragons they are hiding, but every time someone goes out to get more, they fly back with terrifying stories of hive-wing swarms hunting the savannah. For them? The dragons who burned Bloodworm Hive? Or for Sundew and her allies? She's not sure. A gray dragon is curled beside her, asleep with his head resting on her shoulder and his tail twined around hers. He is the sweetest dragon the world has ever seen. He thinks she's a hero for destroying his home. He loves her when she's angry, just as much as when she's cheerful. She has no idea how she fell in love with a gentle silkwing, but she will murder anyone who hurts him. Another leafwing enters the cave, and she motions for him to whisper so he won't wake Grayling.
Strange happenings above, he says quietly. Pokeweed just got back, and he says he saw silkwings flying with the hivewings.
What's strange about that? She asks. Silkwings have been working for hivewings for so long. I'm sure some have been forced to help with the hunt, that's all.
No, Hemlock says with a sigh. All flying the same way, in formation, exact wing movements, all in sync.
He took a deep breath.
And they had white eyes.
She blinks at him. That's impossible. Wasp's power doesn't work on silkwings.
I guess it does now.
He rubs his face. Where's Pokeweed? She asks. I want to know exactly what he saw.
He went deeper into the caves,
Hemlock answers.
Still trying to catch those monkey-looking creatures.
They've seen the underground monkeys scurrying out of sight a few times, but none of the three leafwings have managed to eat one yet. They're either faster than they look, or surprisingly clever.
There's something worse,
Hemlock says reluctantly.
One of the silkwings said she saw leafwings up there too.
She flinches so hard she knocks Grayling awake. He sits up, yawning and brushing her wings with his. He's too thin. She wishes she could protect him better, from the hunger, and from this news. That can't be right, she says to Hemlock with a low hiss.
We saw all that smoke in the north, he says bleakly. Maybe Queen Wasp burned the poison jungle to punish us for burning Bloodworm Hive. Maybe our tribe lost and now...
No, they're out there somewhere, Grayling interrupts. He gives her a look with more trust in it than she's ever felt about anything.
The Leafwings have survived terrible things before. They'll fight back. The Hivewings won't win. They can't.
She wants to feel that way so badly. She doesn't know what will hurt more. To believe the worst, so if it's true she can't feel any lower. Or to hold on to hope, but run the risk of being crushed. I wish we could do something, she says. I wish we knew what was happening. I thought Belladonna would have sent us a message by now.
Maybe we should go fight the Hivewings, Grayling suggests. With all the Silkwings from Bloodworm Hive, there are so many of us down here. Couldn't we fight them?
Not if Queen Wasp can control Silkwings and Leafwings now. She doesn't add that Silkwings are kind of useless fighters. She takes Grayling's front talons as his face crumbles. Don't worry. Wasp is never getting you. Never, never, never. But what is she going to do? They can't hide underground for the rest of their lives. But if they can't go back to the poison jungle either, is there anywhere they can possibly be safe? When Snowfall woke, there was another dragon lying close beside her, one wing resting on hers, and she had to stare at the dragon's soothing white scales for entirely too long before she realized it wasn't Grayling. Of course it wasn't Grayling. Grayling was stuck on the other side of the ocean. Grayling was a Silkwing in a cave under a continent Snowfall was never going to see, which was great news because that continent sounded more and more dreadful every time she visited it. No, the impertinent dragon sleeping next to her was Lynx. Snowfall poked her face until Lynx's eyes fluttered open.
Ow, Lynx grumbled. Rude.
She turned her face away and buried it under her other wing.
What's rude is sleeping on the queen's tail, Snowfall barked. Get off!
Lynx rolled away, still muttering, and then suddenly shook herself and sat up.
What happened last night? She asked, blinking. Did you have another vision?
Yes, Snowfall admitted reluctantly, even though this was exactly why she'd woken Lynx in the first place.
I was a stupid Leafwing this time.
One of the ones here?
No,
Snowfall shook her head. Her name is Bryony. She knows that Sundew dragon, though. Lynx slammed her talon down on something small and furry that was scurrying through the undergrowth.
Ooh, maybe that means you're supposed to tell Sundew about your vision.
Blah! No, I do not need 1,000 more dragons having opinions about my magic head trips. One is far more than enough.
Snowfall glared at the ring. She was starting to feel a little more like herself, but the quiet, worried Bryony personality was still shifting under her scales, and it was so unsettling.
You stupid broken thing, she hissed balefully at the opal. That vision had nothing to do with animus magic.
Shimmer, shimmer, shimmer. The opal winked back serenely. Snowfall stood up and flapped her wings, trying to shake off the lingering strands of affection for the adorable gray Silkwing. He was different from the others. He was special and beloved, and what was happening to her? Melting like a snowball in the desert over a strange dragon she'd never met, who was definitely not her type, even if she did? Was this how Crystal felt about that Mudwing? Snowfall shot another suspicious glance at the ring. Was it trying to hit her over the head with a lesson about sympathy and understanding?
Yuck!
Am I going to have dreams like this for the rest of my life? Will I still be me if I spend every night as an entirely different dragon?
I saw Crystal yesterday, she informed Lynx abruptly. She lives here now.
Lynx's eyes widened, and she put down her half-eaten prey.
No way. She was here the entire time?
She grinned.
There was a tuft of mouse fur caught in her teeth.
So wait, doesn't that mean she was not plotting against you after all?
She ran away to be with a mudwing, Snowfall said with a snort. Link said.
Sounds like maybe you were being extremely paranoid and anxious about nothing then. And just possibly, that might apply to other things you are extremely paranoid about.
You are the most aggravating dragon in the world, Snowfall observed. She had a sense that normally she would be furious with Lynx, and that she should be yelling and perhaps throwing her in the lake, but it was hard to get worked up about a little insubordination when Bryony was stuck underground and Grayling was in danger of being mind-controlled, and she had no idea if Tao had escaped Jewelhive or whether any of them would ever find one another.
Lynx studied her for a moment, with a crease of worry along her forehead, and then she shook herself vigorously.
Come see what our lunatic friend Winter has done.
Friend seemed like a bit of a stretch, in Snowfall's opinion, but she was definitely up for a distraction, so she followed Lynx along the lakeshore, back through Sanctuary. Not far from the water's edge, in an area that had been cleared of trees, there was an odd space surrounded by a tall fence. The fence was made of entire tree trunks, lashed together, so it was very high, and Snowfall had to crane her neck to see over it. Inside, there was a dragon-made pool of water, a pile of leaves and pine needles with a small leaf canopy over it, and something that darted around so energetically it took Snowfall a moment to figure out what it was.
Great ice spirits, she said to Lynx. I thought he was over his scavenger obsession.
Winter poked his head out of a hut near the fence.
I'm not, he said huffily. Why would I be? Scavengers are fascinating.
You are so weird, Snowfall said. Nobody else keeps their lunch in a pretty cage for months to study it.
She's not lunch, he said, outraged. My scavenger is a research subject. I'm learning so much about them. They're really smart.
Snowfall rolled her eyes. What happened to that droopy one Mother let you have when you went off to school?
Bandit. I had to let him go, Winter said tragically. I have no idea what was wrong with him, but this one is different.
This one has bitten him 5 times, Lynx whispered to Snowfall.
She's very brave, he said with a hint of pride. She's come up with all kinds of ways to escape.
Snowfall peered over the top of the fence again.
The scavenger had a long tail of dark fur on her head, tied up with a scrap of fabric that might have been bright yellow at some point. She was now marching up and down the length of the fence, shoving each of the logs and testing them for footholds.
Moon says she's really mad, Lynx told Snowfall.
What? Snowfall said. Why would Moon be mad about this?
No, I mean, the scavenger is mad. She really wants to get out of there.
Snowfall frowned at Lynx. Are you trying to suggest that Nightwing can read scavenger minds as well?
Not exactly, Winter answered. It's not as clear as reading dragon minds, but she gets a sense of their emotions. She says they're just as strong and complicated as dragon emotions, he added with a little smile.
I'm not going to dignify this conversation with any more of my attention, Snowfall said. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Winter's being ridiculous, a new voice suddenly chimed in. If so, that's me. I did that. All credit to me. I built his entire sense of humor from the ground up.
The ice wings whirled around to find a pair of sand wings emerging from the trees. The one speaking was in front, bounding toward Winter with an irrepressible grin on his face. He was the one from the beach, Snowfall was pretty sure. Moon's friend.
Oh, no, Winter said dryly. There goes the neighborhood. Aw, I can see it in your eyes. You missed me so much, said the Sandwing.
He threw one wing affectionately over Winter's shoulders and nudged to the side of his neck with his snout.
I missed you too, best friend.
Snowfall raised her eyebrows at Winter, who said,
I have no idea who this scruffy snout is. His favorite dragon in the world,
the Sandwing said with genuine delight.
Did we ever officially meet, Your Majesty?
He asked Snowfall.
I'm Kibli, Queen Thorn's second-in-command, basically.
Ha! Said the other Sandwing, and then started actually laughing as Kibli gave her an offended look. Lynx nudged Snowfall in the ribs, but she had already recognized the laughing dragon. Snowfall had made a diplomatic trip to each of the kingdoms soon after becoming queen, very much against her will, but apparently it was one of those things a queen was required to do. Queen Thorn, she said, inclining her head exactly the right amount.
Queen Snowfall, Thorn replied, doing the same. I'm glad you're still here.
Oh, Snowfall said. The spikes along her spine ruffled up as she braced herself for a lecture about how real queens behaved. No, wait, that was more Queen Coral's style. Queen Thorn didn't care much for rules and traditions. But that also meant she could be horribly direct about sharing her opinions.
I don't like the sound of that thing across the ocean, said Thorn. Thank the moons Pyria's at peace, so we can all talk about it together like sensible dragons instead of snarling hyenas.
Pyria's at peace. Snowfall had never thought about it that way. Sure, the War of Sandwing's succession was over, but her mother had been murdered pretty recently by a Nightwing. Snowfall wouldn't describe her feelings about that tribe as exactly peaceful. That didn't make her a snarling hyena, though. Seriously. Are the other queens on their way? Snowfall asked.
Riptide said they could be here by tonight,
Kibli answered cheerfully. He gave Winter another hopeful smile, and his earring caught the light of a sunbeam. That earring. The earring. Or at least, it looked exactly like the earrings that had saved her tribe from Darkstalker and the Plague. She remembered them arriving, sacks and sacks of them, brought by Icewings who lived in Possibility, sent by Queen Thorn in the Sand Kingdom. Snowfall's very first task as queen had been making sure that every Icewing in her kingdom received one to reverse the effects of the plague. For a long time, they weren't sure if it was safe to take them off again. Every Icewing had gone around for months wearing them, and then one day someone took theirs off to see what would happen, and the plague didn't come back, so gradually they had disappeared off the dragons. But everyone kept theirs tucked away into safe spots just in case. Just in case they were needed again. Just in case he wasn't really gone. Snowfall had been the last Icewing to remove her earring. She still carried it with her, in the pouch around her neck. It was so strange to see the exact same earring on this enthusiastic Sandwing, just a regular little accessory instead of the thing that had saved her entire tribe. Are you all right? Lynx whispered in her ear. Snowfall pulled herself up and folded her wings regally. Yes, always. And then something flashed behind her eyes like a bolt of lightning, and her head split in two, and everything around her. Sanctuary, the scavenger enclosure, Queen Thorn, Lynx, Snowfall herself. All vanished into thin air. Chapter 13. His claws are shaking. They are his claws, and they are not his claws. His claws would never seize a fleeing dragonette from the webs and drag her into the hive. His voice would never shout orders at terrified silkwings. His talons would never threaten them with this spear. Where did this spear even come from? How long has he been like this? The days are blurring together, and he hasn't been his real self for so long. The queen is in his head, in his muscles, in his talons. It's worse than he ever imagined, any of the times he tried to imagine how the hive wings must feel as she takes over. If he pulls himself all the way back inside and stares inward, he can lose time, knowing his body is moving without him. But right now, he can't do that. He's in his own hive, the place he fled with Cricket and Swordtail not so long ago. He is storming through familiar hallways, smashing displays in the market, rounding up all the silkwings who were peacefully lying in the sun in the mosaic garden. He sees dragons he knows from school, who stare at him in paralyzed terror.
They know he would never do this, so this is how they discover the queen can control silk wings now, as well as hive wings. Except it's not the queen. It's even worse. But they don't know that yet. They look at their own talons, wondering when it will happen, if they'll remember it. All the things Blue wondered too. But there's a process. The new, stronger breath of evil plant is needed for the process, and the dragons who were supposed to make it grow faster escaped. Sundu. No one has found her yet, or Cricket, as far as Blue knows. She might be safe. Maybe they're even in the distant kingdoms now, far from all of this.
Carelessness,
Wasp's voice hisses in his head. This was a strange discovery, that although she can't read his thoughts, he can hear hers, sometimes very clearly. She's furious about the silk wings that have slipped through her claws already. Hundreds of them vanished during the 2 days while her army was rescuing every last scrap of the breath of evil plant from the burning jungle.
The jungle she made me burn,
he thinks, but has to stop himself from thinking. They were hunting for leaf wings at the same time, but found none.
None. How did they all escape?
Where could they have gone?
I will find them and destroy them. At least I have their army and their queen.
Inside his head, the queen is thrilled, and the queen is furious at the same time. Wasp wants to kill Queen Sequoia and all the leaf wings in her power, but the breath of evil won't let her. It controls her just as completely as she controls the hive wings. And it needs the leaf wings. It needs any hint of leaf speak they have to grow more of the plant as fast as they can. Once there is enough, they can take over the silk wings, but only if they can find all the silk wings. And most of them went into hiding while the jungle burned. Blue was with Queen Wasp's army as they searched hive after hive. Yellowjacket hive, empty. Except for Wasp's mean, bewildered sister, Lady Yellowjacket. Wasp hive, empty. Jewel hive, empty. And Queen Wasp was especially furious about that, because where did Lady Jewel and Lady Scarab go? Did they run off with the silk wings?
I knew I should have killed them years ago.
That's when she realized they needed to get ahead of whoever was warning the hives, if there was any chance left to do that, and she sent warriors out to all the hives. That's how Blue ended up here, in his own home. He'd hoped it would be empty too, but whoever was coming to warn them was already too late. He'd seen his mothers, Brunette and Silverspot, but he didn't think they saw him, which was a small mercy. They were in the crowd being shoved into the hatchery. That's where the silk wings were to be kept until the breath of evil was ready for them.
And I have to stand guard, Blue thinks, over my own friends and family. I can't even talk to them, or tell them I missed them, or that I'm sorry about this.
When tears come, as they often do, he can't wipe them away, because his claws are not his claws.
They're my claws. All their claws are my claws.
She enjoys looking through this little silk wing, the flame silk who dared to defy her, but she has a lot of dragons to wield and can't stay entangled in any one for too long. The traps are set in Cicada Hive and Hornet Hive. Whoever has been warning the silk wings will arrive to save them, and then her toothy leaves will snap shut, and they'll be caught like flies in a plant's jaws. Wasp frowns. That was not her metaphor.
Get out of my head,
she says with a hiss, but it doesn't bother answering. This will all be worth it.
Sometimes you have to work with monsters to get the power you want.
Three tribes, all bowing to her. It's what she's wanted all along, isn't it? She knew the silk wings and leaf wings were a threat from the moment she saw them as a young dragonette. They were different, dangerous, strong.
strange and terrifying.
Those tribes would have attacked me first if I hadn't attacked them. If everyone is evil, the only way to survive is to be the most evil. Silkwings and Leafwings are different from us and need to be controlled.
As long as she controls everything, she'll be safe. Everyone will be safe. No one can threaten her when they can't even lift a claw against her.
Everyone was out to get me, but I showed them, and now they're all mine. This is what it means to be a true queen. Complete control. Nothing to fear. No one to stop her, or argue with her, or complain about her. They fear her, and that is how it should be.
She is pacing, and she realizes her thoughts are spiraling down an uncontrolled path again. She'll have to kill something to calm herself down. Snowfall was wrenched very suddenly out of Wasp and landed hard, painfully, back in her own mind. It felt as though she had just plummeted from a great height, and midway, she had turned from one dragon into another, completely different dragon. Or more like a third dragon, Blue, to Wasp, to me. Blue was the most opposite of herself she'd ever been, and the most powerless. It was awful, and she hated it, and she would never, never forgive the ring for doing this to her. But Wasp? Wasp was worse, because Snowfall had heard echoes of her own fears inside Wasp's head. I'm not like her, am I? I would never make the choices she's made. Would I? Such as accepting a strange magic I don't know enough about in order to make myself more powerful? Asked an uncomfortable part of her brain. She realized she was lying on grass, and her face was wet, as though someone had flung part of the lake over her head. The air smelled like scavengers and pine trees and distant snow. She was definitely on her own continent again. I'm not Wasp or Blue. I am me. I'm Snowfall. I've always been Snowfall. I don't want to be anyone else. Ever again. Someone was shaking her shoulder. Wake up. Please wake up, the someone said. Snowfall? Snowfall? That must be Lynx, disrespectfully forgetting how a queen should be addressed. Again. Snowfall cracked her eyes open. Her skull hurt as though she'd whacked it on something when she fainted. Well, not fainted, exactly. Got taken over by a stupid magic vision. Oh, no. That wasn't supposed to happen. A vision in the middle of the day, when she was wide awake? She thought they only came at night, like normal dreams. Could she be attacked by visions any time? She shoved herself up to a sitting position and seized the ring, trying to yank it off. Lynx let out a yelp that sounded like joy and threw her wings around Snowfall. That was terrifying, she cried. Please, don't ever do that again.
Do what exactly?
Kibley's voice asked. Snowfall looked up and realized there was a whole circle of dragons around her, expressions ranging from puzzled to curious to worried. An entirely oversized audience for her collapse. Kibley, Winter, Queen Thorn, and Lynx were all there, but at some point, they'd been joined by Sundew, Luna, and Cricket, who was holding the squirmy little hive wing. Cricket. Snowfall's heart did a hideous little jump-stutter thing at the sight of her. She could almost feel Blue leaning through her scales, shooting out beams of love at the bespectacled dragon. Ugh! Horrifying! Cricket was perhaps a scale closer to Snowfall's type than Grayling, but still several continents off.
I'm fine, she snapped.
It's nothing. I'm fine. Stop looking at me like that. Queen Thorn and Winter politely took a step back and pretended to study the clouds. But Cricket couldn't seem to pull her eyes away. She was giving Snowfall the most fascinated look through her glasses.
So sorry, but...
But your expression, Cricket stammered. Something about your face, for a moment when you were still unconscious, it was so weirdly familiar.
She looked like Moon does when she has visions of the future, Luna suggested. Can you see the future too? What did you see?
Snowfall shook her head, crouching a little lower to the grass. Her claw hurt from her violent attempts to pull off the ring, and her head still ached from being yanked out of Wasp, and she had a weird, flippy feeling in her stomach that had no reasonable explanation, except maybe that turning from one dragon into another all of a sudden might have some physical side effects. Had she seen the future? Or was that the past? Or was it happening right now?
Maybe she's just hungry, Link said, trying to cover for Snowfall. Dragons faint from hunger all the time, right?
Icewings don't have the power of foresight, Winter said to Luna. Only Nightwings.
But that looked like magic, Kibley said.
He glanced at Thorn, as if she had the eyes he trusted the most.
Didn't it? Like something magic just happened to Queen Snowfall. Do you feel all right? He asked her.
He sounded genuinely concerned, his voice suddenly gentle instead of playful. Snowfall saw him reach up and instinctively touch his earring. She wondered if he was thinking of Darkstalker and the plague and what had happened to the last Icewing Queen and other unknown evil spells that might be lurking about. Was it possible the ring had been secretly spirited into the palace by Darkstalker? Could this be one of his curses that was doing this to her? In a panic, Snowfall fumbled for her pouch, pulled out the earring that had cured her of the Darkstalker plague, and stabbed it into her ear. Everyone was staring at her again as she grabbed the ring and tried to wrestle it off her claw. It didn't budge. If it had been a Darkstalker spell, it should have lost all its power over her the moment she put on the earring. She should have been able to pull it off easily. With a sigh, she took the earring off and tucked it back in her pouch.
What is going on? Sundew said into the silence.
Do you have magic besides seeing the future? Luna asked, her gaze going from Snowfall to Lynx to Kibley and Thorn.
They do. Like the invisible Icewing army, remember? I told you about that, Cricket said. I've been wondering about how she did that for days.
It seems to be jewelry-related?
She studied Snowfall's bracelets and the ring that sat obstinately on her claw. Kibley gave her a surprised, approving look. He held out one talon to Snowfall.
May I see?
Snowfall wasn't sure why she placed her talon in his, letting him bend down to peer at the opal ring. Maybe it was the smoky haze of Blue's brain inside hers, wanting to trust everyone.
Which was still better than the sharp teeth of Wasp's brain that wanted her to bite him instead.
Is that right? Am I being all Snowfall right now? Would Snowfall normally want to bite him too? Are any of my feelings real?
Invisible army, Winter murmured to Lynx.
She tugged him a few steps away from the group and whispered in his ear. At the same time, Kibley was tapping on the opal and trying to wiggle the ring around Snowfall's claw.
This isn't an ordinary stuck ring, is it? He said. What's the spell on it? Do you know who cast it?
Sundew drew in a sharp breath behind him.
Spell? She echoed. You can cast actual magic spells?
Part of Snowfall really, really wanted to tell these other tribe dragons nothing. This was Icewing business. Nothing to do with anyone else. But there was Cricket, and her curious face that Blue loved so much, and Blue would never hide anything from her. And even the parts of Snowfall that weren't all blurry from being Blue couldn't help thinking she should know that he's still alive, or at least he was whenever that vision happened. Is going to happen? It would be helpful to know things, you stupid ring.
It's an old animus-touched object from way back in Icewing history, she told Kibley. I found it in our treasury. It gives me visions of other dragons, like I'm inside them, thinking their thoughts, feeling their feelings.
She scowled. It's the worst, if you want to know the truth.
Wow, Cricket breathed. Blue would love that.
Snowfall rubbed her head.
The one I just had, I was Blue, actually.
She didn't want to tell them the wasp part. Maybe she could keep that to herself, and by keeping it to herself, forget it ever happened.
Cricket and Luna stared at her with a whole new light in their eyes. Blue? Luna gasped, and,
you saw him? He's all right?
Cricket blurted at the same time.
I didn't see him, Snowfall explained snippily. I was him. I was stuck inside him. He is the sappiest little butterfly of a dragon I have ever encountered.
That's Blue, Luna said affectionately.
Tears were running down Cricket's face.
What was he doing? Is he safe?
Not even remotely, Snowfall said, and then, ow! As Lynx kicked her tail and gave her a significant look.
I mean, he's alive. But that evil queen of yours is controlling his talons, and he's trapped with her army, and they were just forced to round up a bunch of silkwings in Cicada Hive, including his mother's, and he was feeling really guilty about that.
What?
She barked, as Lynx kicked her tail again.
It's all right, Cricket said to Lynx, although her tears hadn't stopped. I want to know the truth.
See? Snowfall glowered at Lynx.
Have you had visions of other Pentallan dragons? Sundu interrupted. Any leafwings?
Yes, one named Bryony, Snowfall said.
Sundu's eyes narrowed, but less like she was mad at Snowfall and more like she was trying not to have some other expression.
Was she... Did Queen Wasp have her? And the other leafwings with her?
No, she's in hiding, Snowfall said. With Hemlock and all the silkwings from Bloodworm Hive.
All the silkwings from Bloodworm Hive? Sundu echoed, confusion taking over her face.
Yes, Snowfall snapped.
I know your plan was to lead them all to die with the hive wings, but Bryony didn't let that happen.
Sundu blinked, and it was Cricket who jumped in to defend her.
Sundu didn't want them to burn the hive at all, she said. And she's the one who made sure they contacted the chrysalis first.
This is so weird, Lynx said. I mean, listening to you talk about all this Pentala stuff and those dragons over there as if you know them, she added to Snowfall. As if you care about them?
Her puzzled eyebrow seemed to say.
It's not great,
Snowfall lashed her tail.
It's pretty aggravating, in fact. I have enough problems to handle in the Ice Kingdom. I don't want to worry about problems on a whole other continent, too.
Thank you for telling us, though, Cricket said, wiping her eyes.
It means a lot.
Who else? Sundu demanded. How long have you been having these visions without telling us?
Snowfall hissed at her.
Just since you came barging into my kingdom, she said. The other two times were silkwings. In the first vision, I was Atala while she flew over the ocean with you all, but she's here now and totally fine. The other is named Tau. She was trying to escape Jewel Hive before the hive wings got there.
Tau? Cricket said softly. Did she make it?
I don't know.
Snowfall threw her wings up in the air, scattering pine needles.
Wait, yes, I do, sort of, because Blue was thinking about how Wasp's army found Jewel Hive empty. So I think she did, but I can't be sure because I don't even know if I was seeing the past, present, or future. There's no reason for any of this, and now they're happening during the day?
She growled low in her throat.
I can't be collapsing and getting infested with other dragons' emotions in the middle of a council of queens.
Let's cut off my claw, she said abruptly to Lynx.
That might be a bit drastic, Kibley said,
and she realized he was still holding her talon, studying the ring.
I mean, let's make that plan B, or like, plan F.
What's plan A?
Snowfall shouted at him.
Can you communicate with the dragons in your visions? Kibley asked. Like, to let them know where everyone has gone, or that they should come across the ocean too?
No, Snowfall cried. What is wrong with your ears? I'm not Snowfall when I'm inside them. Snowfall disappears. I have no way of telling them anything. I can't even remember what Snowfall knows. It's like I never existed at all.
She took a deep, shuddering breath. Queen Thorn nudged Kibli aside and took his place beside Snowfall.
The Queen needs a moment, Thorn said with authority. Everyone who's not me, go away.
But
Kibli and Sundu both started to protest at the same time.
Now,
Thorn said with a forbidding look. The other dragons melted away like magic.
Real queen magic, Snowfall thought wistfully. The magic of saying things and being instantly obeyed. The magic of being so queenly that everyone listens to you, because they trust you and know you're great queen.
Woof,
Thorn said when they were gone, her voice suddenly surprisingly normal.
Have you noticed that it's awfully hard to get any peace and quiet when you're queen?
Snowfall thought of her empty, echoing palace and the way dragons vanished when they saw her coming. The long, long nights that were too quiet, and yet not peaceful at all. But also the constant pressure inside her head, knowing the wall was always waiting for her and feeling as though dragons were watching her every move.
I wonder if Tundra has changed any of the rankings while I've been gone.
Narwhal used to, when Queen Glacier was away. Snowfall didn't think she'd officially authorized that, but maybe Tundra would just assume that power because Snowfall hadn't told her not to.
Let's go flying, Thorn suggested. We can figure out what we think before the other queens get here.
I don't know how to figure out what I think, Snowfall said, standing up. Should I get my guards?
Nah, just you and me, Thorn said. I mean, who would dare attack us? Brain-dead beetles who want to be crushed, maybe?
Snowfall laughed despite herself. Flying away from everyone was exactly what she wanted to do right now anyway. They lifted up into the sky, letting the late morning sun wash over them and soared toward the peaks. Snowfall inhaled the smell of distant snow, along with the scent of not-so-distant scavengers.
More than one scavenger?
She glanced down at Winter's little enclosure. The creature in there was sprinting around the space again, making lots of funny squeaking noises. But Snowfall's nose told her that wasn't the only scavenger nearby. And were those tree branches moving in more than the wind?
Snowfall shrugged.
She had never cared about scavengers, and she wasn't about to start now. She tilted her wings and followed Queen Thorn into the clouds.
Chapter 14.
Queen Thorn didn't make Snowfall talk or ask a bunch of questions or lecture her on queenliness. They just flew and hunted when they got hungry and flew some more until the sun was high in the sky, warming their chilled wings. Snowfall felt her head clearing of the post-vision blue haze. Her own thoughts sharpened and felt real again. Thoughts including, is that going to keep happening? Visions in the middle of the day? What if one happens while I'm flying? Will I just fall out of the sky and die? Will they ever stop? Or will they start coming more and more frequently until my mind is never my own anymore? She shivered. What was the point of this magic? Was it set to get worse and worse gradually? Maybe so the original animus would have had time to escape the kingdom before the queen went mad? And what was happening with Blue now? Or Bryony? Or Tao? If only she could compel the ring to give her visions she actually wanted. Useful visions, instead of walking nightmares she couldn't do anything about.
Ready to go back?
Thorn asked, swooping up beside her. Snowfall made a face.
I can't wait. More interrogation. How thrilling.
You just shut them down whenever you need to, Thorn suggested. You are a queen. But remember that of course they're curious and worried about their friends, so that's why they want to know more.
Yes, yes, Snowfall grumbled. If Blue had known Snowfall was inside him, he would have been over the moons to give her a message for Cricket. The least she could do for that poor trapped dragon was reassure the hive wing he loved. Another intertribal romance, she thought, shaking her head. Were they more common than she realized? She'd always assumed ice wings would never choose to be with dragons outside their tribe. But then, the dragon who'd brought them the first two earrings had been a hybrid ice wing sea wing from Possibility. And now there was Crystal and Gariel. So, it did happen. Hybrids. Winter mentioned them. In the chaos yesterday, she hadn't really registered it, but now she remembered. He'd said, "We have a lot of hybrids here." That meant dragonettes whose parents were from two different tribes, like the ones she'd spotted yesterday. Probably a mudwing seawing, and at least two skywing sandwings, and maybe a skywing nightwing? No wonder those dragons wanted a new city to live in. How could they ever return to their kingdoms, or choose one tribe while abandoning the other? Snowfall had to admit to herself that she would have forbidden Crystal to see Gariel if she'd known about it when she first became queen. And he wouldn't have been able to cross the Great Ice Cliff alive. He still couldn't. So even if Snowfall gave them her blessing, they'd never be able to come to the Ice Palace. She followed Thorn as they descended into the central clearing of Sanctuary, where Sundew and Tsunami were yelling at each other, surrounded by a wide-eyed audience. "You could save us!" Sundew shouted. "It would be so easy for you!" "I did save you!" Tsunami shouted back. "You're here, aren't you? And alive?"
"I mean everyone back there!"
Sundew waved one wing at the western horizon.
"All the mind-controlled dragons! You could save them with one spell!"
"That's... what?" Tsunami sputtered. "A what now?"
"A spell!"
Sundew clenched her fists.
"The dragons on this continent have real magic," she announced to the leaf wings around her. "It's not only seeing the future and invisible armies. They can cast any spell they want. They could make a spell to free all the dragons in Pantala, but they won't. They've been hiding their magic from us."
"All right, hang on," Tsunami said over the mutters from the crowd. "That's a highly confused understanding of the situation."
"So unconfuse it," Sundew barked.
"We don't all have magic." Tsunami turned to Riptide, who had come up to stand supportively beside her. "Back me up. Hardly any of us have magic."
"It's very rare," Riptide agreed. "Once in a generation, often less, or at least it's supposed to be."
"So right now you have what?" Sundew demanded. "One magician? Two?"
Tsunami scrunched up her snout. "We call them Animus Dragons," she said. "And four, we think, more or less."
"Four?"
Snowfall tried to think. Did she know about this? There was Jerboa, and there was some Animus Dragon at Jade Mountain, she assumed a sea wing, who'd cast the empathy spell. So who were the other two? What tribe did they work for? That was outrageous. Animus dragons all over the place, and none of them ice wings. No one was safe.
"So bring us one of them," Sundew said in a steely voice, "and have them cast one spell for us."
Tsunami's eyes slipped sideways into the crowd, but Snowfall didn't catch who she was looking at.
"Whoa, is there an Animus dragon here right now?"
"Here's the thing," Tsunami said slowly. "Animus magic has stopped working. Nobody knows why. That's why I didn't tell you all about it. Because even though we want to help you, we can't do it with magic. We just can't."
"That sounds like another lie," Sundew yelled.
Snowfall saw Queen Hazel in the crowd of leaf wings. At the same moment, Hazel caught her eye and gave a little start, as though she'd forgotten she was a figure of authority around here.
"Hey, hey," she said, stepping in between Sundew and Tsunami, her green wings spread out like giant leaf curtains. "It could be true, Sundew.
If their magic isn't working, why would they tell us about it?
If their magic isn't working, why is she making armies invisible and having visions of Pentalan dragons?
Sundu asked, pointing at Snowfall.
Oh, great.
Now the hundreds of puzzled eyes turned toward Snowfall.
I'm using old magic, she answered, holding up her talon with the ring on it. Enchanted a long time ago. Those still work. It's only new spells that don't. Apparently, if we take the Animus Dragon's word for it.
Tsunami frowned at her, and Snowfall scowled right back.
The queens are starting to arrive,
Riptide said, brushing Tsunami's wing with his own. A wing of dragons was soaring down toward them, and farther off in the sky, Snowfall could see another group approaching. Everyone turned to look at them, whispering and murmuring. Who would get here first? Would they come with any friends or family of the sanctuary dragons?
Time to put on my super queen face. My, the Ice Kingdom is just fine, thank you, face. No advice needed. Don't tell me what to do. I am an excellent queen who can handle...
Who can? What? Oh no.
It was happening again. Darkness was crowding in around the corners of her eyes. Snowfall looked around wildly, spotted Winter, and sank her claws into his tail.
Youch!
He yelped, whipping around to look at her.
Get me somewhere safe, she hissed. Don't let them see.
He didn't argue, didn't ask questions, didn't stand there with a dopey, bewildered look on his face. He grabbed Kibli, and the two of them spread their wings around Snowfall, hooking their arms under hers and carrying her away from the circle of dragons. With everyone looking up at the sky, Snowfall had to hope they wouldn't notice her being spirited away, but she only had a moment to worry about it before...
Tall grass brushes her wings and tickles her snout. She crouches lower, spreading her long wings. She's lucky they're a dark color, so it's easier to creep up on the hives at night. The Dragon City towers over them, light glowing from the windows and archways on the higher levels. But she can't hear anything. Voices, music, any of the sounds that usually carry across the savannah at night. It's too quiet. And nothing moves in the webs overhead. They're empty and still, like she's never seen them before. All the silk wings. Where are they?
Was this your hive?
The small, dark orange dragon beside her whispers.
Yes, she whispers back. They should have come here first. All her chrysalis friends, her parents. Is she too late to save them?
She studies the map of Pantala in her head. They'd recruited silkwings from Yellow Jacket Hive, Wasp Hive, and Jewel Hive to bring to the Poison Jungle. Those had gone across the sea with the escaping dragons. The silkwings from Bloodworm Hive vanished into thin air after the hive burned. No one knows where they are, but they can't be dead. No bodies and no survivors has to mean they all escaped somewhere, doesn't it? She'd sent two dragons to Setsi Hive, so it had only made sense for her and Cinnabar to fly the other way, stopping briefly at each hive to warn whoever they could, then straight on to Mantis Hive. It was as far from the poison jungle as one could get. Her wings were still sore from the frantic full-speed flight, which meant there was a chance of getting there before Queen Wasp's zombie minions. And she'd been right. They'd found Mantis Hive empty of hive wings. Bewildered silkwings milled about its halls or rested on the webs, enjoying the unexpected days off while also wondering where everyone had gone. Every hive wing had left, even the smallest dragonettes. Wasp had summoned every single one to the battlefield outside the poison jungle, determined to crush the leaf wings once and for all. She clenches her talons. Those hive wings hadn't had to lift a claw. The leaf wings and the silkwing allies she brought them had lost before they even started to fight. They'd run away. And now Queen Wasp and the Breath of Evil were able to infect silkwings, which meant the entire tribe might lose the last bit of freedom they'd had.
Stop, Io, Cinnabar whispers, brushing one of her wings lightly.
Stop worrying. We got everyone out of Mantis Hive and safely into hiding. We'll save the Silkwings here, too.
It's too quiet, she whispers back. The Hivewings must be here. I bet they've got all the Silkwings trapped in there with them.
Even if that's true, Cinnabar whispers, they can't have put all the Silkwings in the Hive under the mind control yet. They don't have enough of the plant to do that. They'll have to grow more, and Sundu said that without Hawthorne or her, it'll take a while.
Not as long as it should. Some of the Leafwings wasp trapped have a little bit of leaf speak. They'll make it grow faster. And if the Hivewings keep all the Silkwings imprisoned until they have enough,
we'll get them out. That's why we're here.
Io sighs and looks up at the ghostly webs again. They're swaying slightly in a far-up breeze, silvery pale in the light of the three moons. Empty. How are two dragons supposed to save all the Silkwings in Cicada Hive?
They'll help us, she reminds herself.
My friends will rise up when they realize it's time for the chrysalis to break free.
The map is safe, Cinnabar asks.
Hidden, Io promises, where we agreed. Even if Queen Wasp captures them and steals their minds, she can't access their secrets. The map to the other continent is somewhere that only Io or Cinnabar can find with their minds free. Wasp won't even know it exists. Cinnabar smiles, and her wings rustle in the darkness.
Then let's go rescue our tribe.
Chapter 15. Snowfall floundered back into her own mind, shouting, "It's a trap! Don't go in there!" She threw off the talons holding her down and tried to lunge into the air, but she was so disoriented that she crashed into somebody's wings and landed back in a soft pile of pine needles.
"Your Majesty," said Winter's voice,
and somehow that was disorienting too, her own cousin calling her that, when that voice and that name should only connect to Queen Glacier.
"Don't worry,"
Kibley said, touching one of her talons lightly.
"You're back. You're Queen Snowfall again."
"They're going to catch her," Snowfall said breathlessly.
"Cicada Hive is full of wasp zombies, lying in wait for Io and Cinnabar. I have to tell them. That's where Blue is. They can't go in there." She struggled up again and then stopped, standing with her wings outstretched along the ground, trying to breathe.
"I can't tell them," she said. "There's no way."
Kibley said, looking at Winter. "Maybe there is?"
"Don't you be needlessly optimistic at me," she snapped.
"Why?" she screamed at the ring in her mind.
"Why would you show me this when there's nothing I can do?"
They were outside Winter's scavenger enclosure. The scavenger inside was squeaking loudly, like an overwrought squirrel. All around them, the bushes rustled in the wind, or maybe because of something else. Snowfall squinted at one of the trees and thought she saw something move that was bigger than a squirrel. But then Lynx came darting through the woods and sprinted up to Snowfall's side.
"Are you all right?" she panted. "Who were you this time?"
"Someone very doomed," Snowfall bit out, frustrated. "Never mind. Are all the queens here?"
"Everyone but Queen Coral," Lynx said. "They've agreed."